Talk about the beauty of Christ. I don't think we got anybody going back. Oh, Kingston, see, oh, does he go back? I'm sorry, go ahead, Kingston. If the children have their offering they want to do at this time, they can do that. Oh, okay. Thank you, Maddie. We'll talk about the beauty of Christ. I say this all the time. I've been saying it for a while, actually, how I think that the picture of Christ is misrepresented. The picture of Jesus has been mispainted for many years because man's gotten in the way of that and muddied the waters. You know, man's created their own doctrine, their own rules of how God works, how God should work, how God did work, and how we got to work to make sure God's happy with us. And I just think it's a very misrepresented picture. And I think it's confused a lot of people. So Galatians 3, Paul talks about where salvation comes from. And salvation does not come through our works. It comes through the grace that's found in Christ and the price that he paid. So we'll get into this called the beauty of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Paul says this. He says, "O foolish Galatians." Now I wouldn't go around saying that at Walmart, you know. Oh, foolish Harmony people. Oh, foolish Cool Springs people. But that's what he says. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? You have begun in the spirit, and now you are made perfect by the flesh? He's questioning them. You say you believed you're saved by faith, but you're still trying to prove it through your works. And all we're doing is adding on to something that doesn't matter, because the foundation's been laid and the foundation's been sealed. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God, the Bible says, lest any man boast. And we have a whole world still trying to build their salvation on the things they do or the things they don't do. Paul is saying, you saw Jesus risen from the dead. You've heard what I've said. Hold on to that truth. I think some people, the more bondage we're in, the holier we are. And that's not true. In fact, Jesus sets us free. Paul says in one place, do not be entangled again with the yoke of that bondage, whom Christ has set you free from. And so many times we see the church, we see Jesus, we see Christianity put in this box of all of this. You've got to look like this and act like this and be like this to be part of this. Look around in this church at your family today. We look different, don't we? Younger, older, black, white, bald, hairy, fat, skinny, tall, short, Republican, Democrat, don't know what you are. We are all that in this place. We're all part of one family. And we love you all. Even if you're a Duke fan, I still got to love you. Okay, I still got to love you. And I just found out my good friend Nathan's a Duke fan. I don't know how that happened. Me and Bill had him all these years down here. And somehow, he knew all along, just didn't tell me, huh? Okay, that's how it is. We're all different, but we're all part of this family. Well, we're part of God's family through faith. You know what makes all of us the same? It's the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us the same. It's not denomination. It's not religion. It's not the name of the church. It's the name of the Savior. What a beautiful, powerful name. The name of Jesus Christ, who equalized all humanity, who put us all on the same page, the same family. All of us are equal in God's eyes. No matter where we come from or what we have done or where we have been. But man, we got people still trying to put labels on people. And that's been the problem. The picture's not been painted clearly. Look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice this verse. When we know the story, we should in Genesis, where Abraham found the grace of God, not through works. Abraham lived 450 years before the law was even in place. He lived before the law, but yet the Bible says he was counted righteous because he believed God. He believed God. Do you believe the only path to our salvation is through the slain Lamb of God? That Jesus died for all of our sins and that Jesus rose for all of our righteousness. And there is no other path, no other way. Our faith is in that. That makes us believers. And we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we operate in different. This has been mispainted too. Well, they don't raise their hands. They must not be spirit-filled. They ain't never show no emotion. They ain't spirit-filled. Or sometimes, man, they shout it so much, they spirit-filled all right. Not sure what kind of spirit, but they spirit-filled. We're easy to judge that, aren't we? All of us don't react the same. Some of y'all are kind of bashful by nature. If I put this microphone in some of y'all's hands, you'd be like, And then some of you, like Nathan, would just talk off the hook and say stuff that embarrass me. So, it depends on who you are, but some of us are backwards. But you know what? Just because you're shy don't mean you're less of a Christian. Because you don't raise your hand don't make you less of a Christian. Because you don't shout don't make you less of a Christian. We are saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And as long as we have that relationship with Him, then guess what? We're part of God's great, big, wonderful family. We are a part of it. Verse 7. For therefore know that they which are of faith, not works, faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Now that word heathen, we misuse that today, really. When I say heathen, what do you think about, Nathan? If I use the word, if I say your wife's a heathen, what would you think? Right, you can't say. It's a bad word, right? Heathen, you unbelieving fool. You know, you ungodly, wicked person. You're a heathen. Do you know what heathen means in this context? It means foreigner. Foreigner, non-Jewish, Gentile, a foreigner. Exactly. So we all up in here, heathens. All of us are heathens. And by faith, he came to us. The scripture saying that God would justify the heathen. Do we know what justify means? What does justify mean? Anybody know? Right, exactly. Make it right. Declared righteous. I'm now right before God through faith. Through faith. Not through all the good deeds I do, and good deeds we're going to do as Christians. We should act like Christians. And as a Christian, we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to forgive each other. We're going to give big fat tithes and offers to our church. All that stuff, as Christians, we're going to do those things. You got to plug it in wherever you can, Carol. as Christians, we're going to produce those works, but those works doesn't produce our salvation. I know a lot of good people that'll walk you across the street, bring you chicken noodle soup when you're sick, go pay your power bill and not want no gas money back in return. They'll do those things for you, but they may not believe in God. They may not believe in Jesus. We are saved by faith in the knowledge of who He is and what He has done for us. Justified, declared righteous. How many times through the years have we seen where someone came to the altar and then we give them a manuscript of how to stay saved and what to do not to get lost and all this stuff of what they have to live out now, and we threaten them with intimidation and we put that spiritual hoax on them to make them bound, and we're like, no, just the Holy Spirit has drawn you. The Holy Spirit has saved you, and the Holy Spirit has sealed you. So walk in the confidence of who you are. I am now and forevermore a child of the living God because my faith has been placed in Him, not in me. Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all come short. And the only one that didn't come short was Christ, God made in the flesh, who made that bridge, connected us, and wiped away and took down the partition of sin that stood between me and God. So no longer does that stand in the way. Do I still sin? Of course I do. Do y'all still sin? Yeah, y'all do. So I'm just telling you, we make mistakes. But I know my faith's not in my stuff. My faith in what Jesus has done for me. And I trust that. And I can have confidence and I can have peace in that. He justifies the heathen through faith. It was preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations shall be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now let me say something here. Make some of y'all a little, you know, might like, oh, I'm telling you, God, I got to preach what God has shown me. Now I've heard people take the message of Abraham and make it a prosperity message. I'm going to be blessed like Abraham. Tons and tons of money and horses and gold and all this. It's not talking about the financial blessing of Abraham in this scripture. It's talking about the blessing of being saved by grace. I'm part of that heritage. I'm saved by grace. And I am so thankful. Abraham, 450 years before the Mosaic law, God counted him righteous because he believed. Faith in Christ is what brings our salvation. That's the beauty that is in Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. I want you to look at that. If we're under the law, we're under a curse. Why is it a curse? Because it goes on to say that we have to do everything, and if we continue with not in all those things that are written in the book of the law to do, that if we're under the law, and if that's where we've drawn our line, Pastor, I've heard his grace message, but you know what? I'm going to hang on to my old ways. Okay, you're under a curse. Because if you're going to hang your hat on the law, you got to keep all of it. I'm talking everything. Everything. Every single precept. Everything. You can't just keep part of it. Well, I'm a faithful husband. I don't commit no adultery. I don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. But you're doing something that violates God's law. If your mind thinks something bad, you've broken the law. If you hear something wrong, you've broken the law. If you look at something you shouldn't, you've broken the law. And let's put it right here. This will really put the pedal, okay? If you're under the law, I'm talking about the law. If you don't give 10% of your income, you're breaking the law. The law. So do you still want to stay under that law and be under that curse of having to keep all of these things? And I love how religious folks will make their own laws, right? You know, how do you dress at your church? Well, what does your hair look like at your church? Do y'all play that loud contemporary music or do you play the old country hymns? Look, man, we're here to worship Jesus. We're here to honor our Savior. I'm not about all of that. I'm about us hearing the gospel, the good news of what Jesus came to do. The picture's all about Jesus, not about anything else. Man, I've seen churches split over the color of the carpet. I voted red. They voted green. I'm going somewhere. Are you serious? Are we at that point? If we're at that point, we've missed the mark big time. We're here to honor God. It says you're under a curse if you're under the law. It goes on to say in verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. There it goes. There goes your old time religion, right? Nobody is justified by the law in the sight of God. Nobody. I don't care how much we try to keep it. I said before, you could be a monk in a monastery and go hide in a cave. No TV, no radio, no news, you know, fast and pray and seek God and play Amazing Grace till the cows come home. Don't talk to nobody. Don't say nothing. Have 40 years of meditation. And the only thing that's going to come out of that is you will be a crazy man. You're going to come out a little loony out of that cave. We can do all that we want to try to keep the law, and we should obey God's word. The Sunday school lesson Randy taught was very good, talking about instructions and how that we are, that God gives instructions in life to follow. And if we don't go by the instructions, then sometimes we miss the mark. And those instructions are good for our lives. But if we're placing all of our salvation and all of our future in heaven based on this and that and this and that, then we all have fallen short and we're under a curse. Because you know why it's a curse? Nobody can keep it all. We're all doomed. Every one of us are doomed. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. Tay, has there been times that you have not honored your mother and father? Mm-hmm. So here's Tay not honoring his mother. Leave me alone. I hate you. The trumpet sound. You don't go. Tay's like, take me, Jesus. I'm sorry. That's really how we have categorized it. That everything we mess up on costs us our future redemption. My redemption is based on what happened 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary with a man named Jesus who died and rose and ascended forevermore. And the Bible says I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's a promise God's given me, and I'm sealed. I don't have to live one more day in fear of what if it's not enough, because I'm telling you, you're not enough and it's not enough, but this is enough for everybody forevermore. Hallelujah. It is enough. We don't see the picture of Jesus. It's almost like we want to. I started street preaching my mom up to the house, and I ate dinner with her when Melanie was out of town. Mom had me over for dinner, and I showed her this video of a street preacher. He's got all kinds of videos. And Mom couldn't believe what she was hearing. And here's a street preacher trying to present the gospel, and it was nothing but hate. And the words he was using, I mean, he was calling people ugly names in the name of the gospel, and just everybody. I mean, he was looking at people saying, you're a sinner and you are going to hell. And I'm sitting there like, you don't even know this person. You don't have no idea them walking by what they are or who they are. And this is the gospel of Jesus. You know what Jesus Christ did? Read your Bible in the Gospels. He healed the sick. He reached out to the hungry and fed them. He set the captives free. When the lepers weren't allowed in town because it was considered, you know, unclean, they couldn't be in town with leprosy, what did Jesus do? He touched them and healed them and made them whole. When the little hoochie-coochie woman, Samaritan woman, who had all these men and had the bad name in town, who came to her? Jesus. When little Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector who had ripped people off his whole life, who was a bad man, who today he'd be called a white-collar crime and be serving 30 years in prison for it, what did Jesus do? He saved them and forgave them. Look at the gospels of what Jesus did. He fed the hungry. He quenched their thirst. He healed their sickness. He touched their hearts. He touched their lives. He showed them mercy and grace. When the woman caught in adultery and the whole town was ready to stone her and destroy her, who was the only one that showed up? It wasn't the Baptist or the Pentecostals. It was Jesus Christ who rose her up and says, I forgive you. Go sin no more. I'm not accusing you of nothing. That's the life Jesus lived. But we're more like the town that wants to stone everybody. And we're the ones that want to hurt everybody. Instead of loving them and presenting the gospel in a way that shows them they are loved by our Creator. We almost come into religion or Christianity sometimes with God's holding something against us and we've got to prove differently. You know, it's almost like the saying in court, you know, you're proven innocent until guilty. It's almost like it's backwards in Christianity. You're guilty until proven innocent. We treat people that way. Instead of presenting them the gospel of what Jesus did and letting the message of that sink in their hearts and realize, because I know as a young person, I was young one time, you know, I was. And the struggles of that young life can be hard. You got to make decisions and the devil's pulling you every different direction. You know, you've got this temptation. And I remember as a teenager living such a life of bondage, thinking I'd fail God over and over because I didn't do everything exactly like I'd heard I was supposed to do it. If I'd have known the power of His grace then, how different things might have been. But man, I would live in such condemnation and such shame and such guilt. And I would go in this place of thinking, you know, am I, there were times I even questioned, you know, I really was. Am I going to make it? Am I really going to make it? Because I just heard such preaching against everything being, you know, everything's the devil. It's the devil. And everything's not the devil. Life comes at us. And thank God, I said this last week, the blood of Jesus forgives us of our sins, past, present, and future. And the future part we struggle with. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, he went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption. Eternal, not partly, not as long as you're acting right. Eternal redemption. And he paid that price. Verse 12, or verse 11 finishes saying, the just shall live by faith, not by law. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth it shall live. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us. The word redeemed, if you look this up, one of the definitions of in this context actually means bought out of slavery by paying a price. Just let that sink in. Bought out of slavery by paying a price. Jesus paid the price that I'm no longer a slave to sin and the devil. No more. The price has been paid. God has redeemed me from the curse. Because why is it a curse? Because nobody can keep it. Nobody can keep it. I mean, church, we can't control our minds. I mean, I use the example a lot. If you're down at the beach and you're a normal straight guy. Well, you could be a not straight guy. It would be the other way. But anyway, you're a straight guy and you're at the beach. You're a straight woman and you're at the beach. I know Melon's got eyes too. I know I ain't what I used to be. I get that. Your eyes may glance. Here's Sherman, newly married, there at the beach. And those guys are slick. We got the shades on, right? We're not slick. Here comes a little hottie coming down the beach, and there goes Sherman. Uh-oh. Lawbreaker, hell burner, damnation inheritor. Amen, Sherman. Because I've been giving you a fist bump saying, right? We just got to be honest, church. Let's be honest. Any of you watch soap operas? They dirty. They filthy. Melly flipped through one day, just happened to be flipping through this a while back, and just flipping through, she hadn't watched them in years, but flipping through, and saw two men in a shower together. Two men in a shower. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, soap operas, they're sleeping around. Are they married? No. What's that called? Fornication? That's breaking the law? Right? Do they say ugly words on soap operas? Yes. What's that called? Filthy communication out of your mouth? That's breaking the law. So if you're watching them dirty soap operas, you is a sinner. And you are a lawbreaker. So if you want to hang your hat on that, go ahead. When Days of Our Lives is on, let's just hope the trumpet don't sound. That's all I'm saying. If you're basing your faith in that. But thank God, Jesus. Do what? Days of Our Lives. Well, that is the Days of Our Lives now. That is the Days of Our Lives, that's for sure. We've been redeemed from that curse of the law. None of us can keep it. Cursed is everyone that hang. Oh, it says, but he being made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse for us. He took our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23 tells us that. Where's my first PowerPoint at? I got another verse to go. A couple more. Go ahead. This was a quote. I guess the name's on the next slide, or took it off. This is a quote from John Calvin, who was, you know, a minister, a starter of a whole real denomination. The role of the law is to show the disease in such a way that, it's supposed to be it, I think, sorry, that it shows no hope of cure. The role of the law is to show the disease in such a way that there is no hope of cure, whereas the role of the gospel is to bring a remedy to those who are past hope. That's the gospel. The law was always a reminder, right, of what we couldn't do, what we couldn't be. But then the gospel comes, and it goes beyond that, and it makes you realize now there's hope because of Jesus. There wasn't hope before. Wasn't hope. You know, Jesus used the example of if you look at a woman the wrong way, you commit adultery. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So if we want to put the law in a context of just doing the tangible things we think are law-breaking, once again, go back to how we're thinking. If we're looking, we're breaking the law, right? If we're thinking things, if we don't love each other, if we don't forgive each other, if we're breaking the law. I think it's a great quote from John Calvin. Bring a remedy to those who are past hope. That's what the gospel does. Verse 14. He was cursed on that tree so that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, talking about the blessing of righteousness, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through a great big altar call, through the drums beating and people dancing, through oil slapping on our foreheads, through shouting and singing. No, no, no. The Spirit of promise comes through faith that Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be enough. Period. Don't add one more thing to it. Now I can shout and praise and love with the drums beating, the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful times. But just because grandma shouts hallelujah and Gordon sits there like a knot on a log, not you're not, don't mean grandma's more saved. It just means the Spirit hit her. Hallelujah. And that's all right. It's through faith. Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of Christ, the promise of the Spirit. Look at verse 22 now. But the Scripture hath concluded, here it is, the Scripture concluded that all are under sin. We don't like that, do we? Some of y'all are getting itchy in here. I can feel this. It's okay. Because we can't be changed until we know we need to be changed. We can't receive until we know we need to receive. We all are under sin. Common sense teaches us that. I use it all the time. Our little children show us that every single day. As sweet as Maddie is, she's what, 8 years old? Little 8 years old. Little Maddie's 8 years old and she's pretty. And when she goes down the aisle, it's, you know, everybody's cheesing at her. She's smiling. She looks so adorable and sweet and just beautiful and angel. Ha, ha, ha. But I guarantee you, sin comes out of Maddie. Nobody's taught Maddie how to sin. It's not like Sherman and Minnie say, okay, honey, now here's what you do to be bad. I say this all the time. When your mama tells you something, look at her and say, no. That's what you do, Maddie. Tell her that. And when your daddy tells you to do something, you say, I'm not listening to you. They don't teach her that. That comes all by herself. All those emotions just come natural because she's a natural woman. All of them just come natural. And you naturally beat her hind end. That's very good. For you that don't believe in family punishment, just wait and see how your kid turns out. That's all I'm saying. Good job, mama. Sin comes automatically. It comes automatically. We're all under sin. So what's the cure? If I'm under sin and I can't be saved by what I do and how I live, then where's my hope? It tells us here, we're all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. I've got the promise of the Spirit of God in me if I will believe in who He is and what He has done. Because I know I'm under sin. And I show that every day of my life. We all do. We all do. Even little sweet Christian. Melanie's in Florida. Christian got a little bit of a hothead on the road down in Orlando. I guess the traffic and stuff. She's got a little hothead. My little Christian. My little sweet angel. Melanie's in the car with her one day and she pulls up beside a car she don't know. Rolls down the window and looks at him and says, slow! My little Christian. You know what happened? The devil got a hold of her. That rage came up. Notice she didn't roll down the window and says, Jesus loves you. And if you don't slow down, you're going to see him really soon. God bless you. She didn't say that. She would come out from Greensboro after moving out of her apartment from college. come back home for about a month before she went off to Florida, and they're going down I-40 through there, and she was got just stressed driving, and she told her, her mama says, this is 3 or 4 years ago, she said, I'm ready to get home. If I don't get home, someone will cut somebody. Cut somebody? That's my Christian. Like, man, the devil comes up in us because sin is there, and there's no remedy for it. Man, you ever seen tongue-talking, shouting, spiritual people tongue-talking, shout on Sunday and then live like the devil by Wednesday? I see it all the time because that doesn't take away the sin. It makes you feel good for a moment, and you might get a charge and refreshed, but man, the sin's still there. You can't shout your way out of sin. You can't give your way out of sin. You can't live your way out of sin. But Jesus stepped in and did something none of us could do. He was the perfect sacrifice, virgin born. His blood was not contaminated with man. That's why he's perfect, and that's why it works. He was born without sin. But he became sin that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Faith in him, not in what we do. And I'm telling you, when you really are following Jesus, you're going to live a life that produces that fruit. I love my wife, and I hope through the years I show I love my wife. Not by just telling her I love her, which I do, but things I do for her. My actions are going to follow how I feel and what I believe in. And I believe in the love I have for my wife. I believe in that. I believe in our relationship. And so I give to her through my actions. Little things that I don't have to do. There's many things I do for Melanie and her, me as well. Many things I do for her I don't have to do. It's not required. She's not going to fuss if I don't do those things. But I do those things. It's like you put on Facebook about how Rodney cooked dinner for you and had it waiting on you. It's those things that we do for each other because we love each other. I'm not under the law of marriage. Y'all are still for a little bit, okay? I'm not under the law of marriage. I'm in a covenant relationship of marriage. I'm not a husband because I have to be a husband, because Ashley will be 18 in July and it will no longer be cheaper to keep her, okay? So I'm not in a relationship with Melanie because I have to be. I actually want to be in a relationship with Melanie. I actually love the girl. I actually think she's pretty. I actually think she's sweet. I still have feelings for her. I actually still like to kiss her and hold her hand and touch her and hug her. I still like that. That's not TMI. I'm not going TMI. I can't jump all over that. I love my wife because I love her that I try to be the husband to her that I can be. That's how it is spiritually. You know, I don't serve God because of fear of hell flame fires. I don't agree with that, church. If you was here last Sunday. Go back and listen to the message. What is the gospel? I actually put it on a CD because I want a hard copy of that, because that message, I think, that's the message I want to have a hard copy of. What is the gospel? The gospel is not about money. The gospel is not about fear and intimidation. The gospel is not about hate and anger. The gospel is about Jesus Christ dying for our sins and raising from the dead for our resurrection. That's the gospel. And so many times we have tried to put fear in people. We do skits with fear in it. We do plays with fear in it. We try to make people afraid. You know, I don't want my kids afraid of me. I want them to respect me and love me. But I don't want them afraid of me. Not that kind of fear. I want them to know they can trust me. And we paint this picture of God in a wrathful, vengeful way with chariots of flaming fire and you better do this. Doomsday is coming. And we read what, remember how Jesus came into Jerusalem? He didn't come in on a white horse with a sword, did he? He rode in on a donkey, symbolizing peace. I come in peace. I don't come in anger. I come in peace. I'm surrendering myself for humanity. I'm giving myself up. I didn't have to go to the cross, but I did. I didn't have to let them nail me, but I did. When they whipped me 39 times, the whipping post, I didn't have to let that happen, but I did. They spit on me. I let it happen. They cussed me. I let it happen. They beat me. I let it happen. They mocked me. I let it happen.
And then they hung me on the cross in front of all these people with all of my kingly dignity robbed away, and I let them do that. And even one of my last things I said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To the very end, our Savior was showing us a picture of mercy and grace and forgiveness and love and hope, not hate, not judgment, and not anger. Hallelujah. And we painted the wrong picture, and we wonder why people don't want God and don't want a relationship, because they don't understand the picture that we're painting. We need to paint the right picture, church. What verse am I on? 23, thank you. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. We were shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, means tutor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. It's in the Bible, church. Everything I teach is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. The law was to bring us to the understanding that we had to have a Savior, because I can't do it. If I gave Melanie all these rules of how to stay my wife, just an example, honey, I had this list. You must do this every single day. That dishwasher better be loaded, unloaded, closed, towels, mop, swept, do this, get the groceries, clean the refrigerator, mow the yard, sweep the porch. I had all these things. If I had all these rules for Melanie, you know what I would do to Melanie? I would frustrate her. And I would lose her. Not to go on Marketplace and post, need help. I would lose her because I would frustrate her. You know what Melanie would finally come to terms of? No matter how good a wife she was trying to be, and maybe she really was trying to do all those things in the beginning, she would get to the point, "James, I can't do it. It's too much. I can't meet your requirements. I can't do it." Then all of a sudden I say, "Okay, Melanie, I understand. So here's what's going to be now. You just do what you feel like doing, and I'll love you, and I trust you to be my wife. No more rules, regulations. You be the wife to me that you feel God's called you to be." Then all of a sudden that pressure is off, that stress is off. And then she can love me for who I am, not serve me out of fear. We don't serve God out of fear. We serve God out of love. Look what he did for me. God, look what he did for me. To think he wipes away the slate of sin. And man, for some of y'all sitting out there, not me of course, some of y'all sitting out there, there's some sin to forgive. I mean, there's some depths and layers of darkness in y'all's lives. You're like, "Oh my gosh, God has wiped all of that away." Yes, thank God. Thank God he's done that. So the law was to bring us to the point that we knew we needed faith. We're going to close out here. Stay with me. I don't want to lose you. We're closing out. Verse 25. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Church, after faith has come, you're no longer under the law once you are operating in faith. Sorry, head's too big. Verse 26, 27, we'll close out these two verses. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not by the denomination, not by, you know, getting baptized or not getting baptized, not by spiritual gifts, not by giving your offerings, not by coming to church, not by all the deeds you do. You're saved. You're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then once our faith in Christ Jesus, we will follow him and we will serve him because we love him. And we love what he has done for us. I got two more verses, right? Okay, yeah. Go ahead and go to John. Go to John 1. Now, we all know these two verses. But I want to close out with this because we're talking about the beauty of Christ. For God so loved the world, right? That's us. I'm part of the world. You're part of the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish
but have everlasting life. He know that verse? Oh, very good. Go to the next verse, and we'll close out with this. Is he able to read that verse? Can you read that? Look what it says, church. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he came. He didn't come to put us in his box and destroy our lives. He come that we might be saved. That's the beauty of Christ. That's the picture we should be painting to people. Not screaming out all their sins and all their faults. Because I don't know about y'all, I know where my weaknesses are. I know my faults. Even when Melanie fusses me about something, I don't like it, because none of us do. Nobody likes their stuff pointed out. But get used to it. It happens all the time. And when Melanie points something out to me, I don't like it. But you know what? Usually she's doing it because it's something that either is not good for me or it's hurting her. So why would I not change that? Melanie loves me. And the thing she points out is usually because she loves me. And the things I point to Melanie is because I love you. That's what love, thank you, Brent. That's what love does. He did not come that we are condemned. He come that we might be saved. The beauty of Christ. That is the message for today. Saved by his grace, not by our works. Saved by what he has done, not by what we will do. He is enough. We don't have to add nothing else to it. Now, I hear some of y'all out there. I can hear this going on. Pastor, since I ain't under the law no more, hallelujah, I'm going to bust it wide open this afternoon, and I'm going to party. Now, if you love Jesus, you won't. I love my wife. And because I love her, I can't party. Get it? No. Because I love her. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say it this way. I don't have a desire to party because I love my wife. Such quick recovery there. I don't have a desire to party because I love her. We're in a relationship. So when you're in a relationship with Christ, you're going to want to follow him and serve him. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. And don't let the devil discourage you with every single thing that a mistake you make, making you question whether you've been saved. Because I want to tell you something. If you believe you're saved by faith, you can't believe you're unsaved by your works. You just can't believe that. It doesn't mirror. It doesn't make sense. It's apples and oranges. It's not the same. I'm saved by grace, Jesus. Thank you. I didn't earn it. Didn't deserve it. You gave it to me, God, as a gift. And I receive it as a gift. And I hold on to it. And can't nobody take it out of my hand. Nobody. I've got it. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning. Father, as we get ready to conclude this service, I just pray the word gets into our hearts. For those that are so battling, God, this message of what do I have to do? I feel so unworthy. I feel so ungodly. I feel like I've failed God so many times. I feel like I've got to do so much more in order to obtain his mercy and grace. God, I pray that you speak truth in their hearts. Let them realize you paid that price for them. Past, present, and future. You paid that price. You have come. You have died. You have been risen from the dead. You have ascended, and you are going to return for the church, which is us who have our faith in you. Let that message sink in, God, that we are set free from the bondage of trying to do things ourselves and rest and cease, as your word says, from our own works, that we would just cease and place all of our trust in you, because, Lord, all of our hope is in you. And we are thankful and we are grateful that you are beautiful, wonderful, powerful. You're the almighty creator of all things. And God, your mercy and grace endureth forever. And we thank you for that and give you praise for that. Speak to hearts and let it be life-changing to those that were here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.